You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns quarterback Connor Shaw will be the one taking the reps with the first team in preparation for the Baltimore Ravens at the season finale. Brian Hoyer not a go at practice today. We'll see where Hoyer plays into all of this. The feeling from us is that if Brian Hoyer feels capable of going, he will be the guy if he's physically capable of doing it Sunday against Baltimore. 216-578-0850. We appreciate all of your patience. Thank you for hanging in with us. I hope we reward you right here and now. Let's get back down to Columbus and rejoin our guy Foster. Foster, again, happy holidays and thanks for waiting, my man.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on again. I guess I'll start by saying, you know, answering your question about who's is the offense responsible, and I guess I've got to say yes, but you know, I'm unpopular in the belief that the quarterback position until Manziel played was the least responsible for that downturn. I think it's no coincidence that the slide started with Josh Gordon's return, his route running, his catching, his ability to go across the middle and catch a ball has really affected the offense. And I guess my example would be I went back and looked at the Bills game, and I have never seen a worst receiving performance in my life, and yet Hoyer gets all the blame. You know, if you recall his first interception, Josh Gordon admitted that he ran the wrong route. He was supposed to cut towards the middle, and it was an easy play for the safety. I mean, there were plays, and I don't know how he made it out of the film room, except that he is such a freak athlete and led the league in yardage last year. Because there were plays where he was supposed to go across the middle and just flat stop.
Yes.
I mean, Hoyer should have had probably another interception, except the linebacker was waiting to lay a lick as opposed to looking for the ball.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I know Matt had mentioned about looking at statistics. I think a lot of people get blinded by the statistics about Hoyer's percentage, completion percentage. But if you go back, I'm just begging you guys to go watch that film because it is very telling. I don't think Hoyer missed a throw in terms of accuracy. He made a bad decision on the second because even if you watch the film, there were two receivers out in a route and five defensive backs. Doesn't really lend much, you know, of possibility for success.
Foster, we appreciate the call. And again, happy holidays, Matt. Now, there's a lot of credence to what Foster said. And yet, you know, I vividly recall Brian Hoyer after the Atlanta game saying, and what, 19 targets for Josh Gordon
yes.
the first week he came back, saying to me, saying as he remember he was led the fourth quarter drive, but was almost disconsolate after the game, and said, "That's not the way I play quarterback." He threw the three picks and said, "You know, he was couldn't cheer him up." Because of the way that he felt that he had let the team down and putting the football in harm's way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just to reference Josh Gordon, as Foster did, I think that Josh Gordon, not at times, but throughout and games and in his return in every game, he seems disinterested. When he doesn't get the ball as frequently as he would have liked, if he doesn't get the ball on time, if he doesn't get the ball with an opportunity to make a play and he's taking hits, you know, it just looks like he's just doing the bare minimum moving forward. And that it does, and with that being said, is it doesn't matter who the quarterback is delivering the football. If you have a disinterested wide receiver who, in some cases, was maybe playing his way into shape and not on the same page, everyone will struggle. And I think my best, and I thought of this, you know, as Foster was speaking as well, is you look at Peyton Manning last night.
Yeah.
Timing a little bit off, a little bit disconnected, you know, how many times, and I'm not trying to say that Peyton Manning's always right. The receiver can run the right route and just make a bad throw or a misread or so on and so forth. But you look at the frustration that Peyton Manning had on his face, shaking his head, you know, biting his lip, kind of like looking at Emmanuel Sanders, expecting something different, or Demaryius Thomas, I thought you were going to do this, but you did this. And that reflects on who? a little on the wide receiver, but a whole heck of a lot on the quarterback. And I think that is what Brian Hoyer, at times, with the return of Josh Gordon, has fallen victim to.
No, there's no question. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, too, don't you think that we talk about the 19 targets? Now, that's come down in each at every week from that high watermark, the first game he came back in Atlanta. But it was obvious that there was a real purpose to let's give him an opportunity to win against Josh Gordon, against defensive backs, and go make plays for us. Because, again, I thought it was very telling that Brian Hoyer said, that's not the way I play.
Correct.
And I think that goes back to the 3 years in New England with him. We don't play quarterback that way.
Right. I agree. And to deviate off your point very quickly and to kind of linger on something that you said earlier in the return of Josh Gordon is our inability to get behind a defense. And that's the one thing that still, if we're going to point another finger at somebody, it's Kyle Shanahan and someone that we gave as much credit to anybody as a part when the offense was very successful and both running the football and Brian Hoyer was playing very good and these wide receivers were catching the ball in open windows.
Yeah.
I am shocked that we haven't taken, and I know some of it has come because of the overthrows. We've had opportunities to throw the ball deep. They've been missed.
They have. And that's on Brian.
It is. And I just thought that, but the consistency of a team that is struggling offensively, I think we played it very safe. And we've taken the game-breaking ability in some cases away from Josh Gordon by running him on those routes. He's not seeing a double team, in most cases anymore.
Mm-mm.
He's not, the safety's not leaning his way all the time, because they have to be in the box to give onus to the run. You saw Jordan Cameron run right down the middle of a defense in zero coverage. So there's enough playmakers on this team that he's not getting all the attention like Calvin Johnson would or Larry Fitzgerald used to.
It started that, you're right. It started that way against Atlanta.
Yes.
You had safety shading him.
Yes.
And they were, in essence, doubling him while mixing up their coverage schemes. But against Buffalo a few times, Indianapolis virtually not at all. In fact, it's been about let's stop the run game and see if they can find ways to get over the top of us.
Exactly, and that's where, again, I go back to Kyle Shanahan and say, where's the creativity? Where's the risk-taking? If we have, in some cases, nothing to lose, and you're down 17-0 with Johnny Manziel at quarterback, line him up 7 yards deep in the shotgun, shoot it back to him, and say, Josh Gordon is faster and bigger, and if you really do have the arm, deliver the ball out there and go make a play.
Yeah, well, that goes back to the want, though, to have him win. When I say win, I mean win his battle with that secondary, that opposition, and are you somewhat forcing the football to him at times? That's a fine line there. Let's head to Sidney, Ohio. Browns Nation barking loud in Sidney. As we say hi to Chuck on Cleveland Browns Daily. Hello, Chuck.
Hello, guys.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Same to you.
You too.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on, what Foster was saying, what you guys just got done saying, as far as Gordon and Shanahan. I believe that, that hasn't been there with Gordon. I don't know why. He's been disappointing. But the offense, though, I mean, if you're a defensive coordinator, how are you going to plan against the Browns?
Well, I'm loading up the box, take away the run, and force them to throw the football
and
if they can hit something big against me.
Exactly. And they're not going to throw it to their running backs. Crowell, I'm sure he can catch a pass. He's shown he can catch a pass, but they just don't throw it to him.
Eight catches for 71 yards. Josh Gordon, by the way, as we said, here we are five games deep, Matt, 24 catches for 303 yards. But here's the thing that's striking. Remember, this young man led the NFL at better than 17 yards per catch a year ago. 12.5 yards per catch in the five games he's played.
Yes, and that being said, is he getting more attention? Absolutely, after the season he had last year. But moving forward, the same way we talked about the quarterback position and the greats, are game planned each and every week, and somehow, some way, they just continue to be productive. And even more so when the game is on the line, they make those plays. And Josh Gordon and the superior talents and other wide receivers, Megatron sees doubles every week, all week. You know what I mean?
All the time.
Julio Jones will as he continues throughout his career. And that's something we have to get used to. And that falls back on the effort and the interest of Josh Gordon, and also, too, I think more so the creativity of Kyle Shanahan getting them open and scheming the ball to those playmaking wide receivers.
Back to the big league city of Cleveland. Here's Gary. Welcome to the show, Gary. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Mike and Matt.
How are you, man?
We're great, Gary.
I'm good to hear from you.
I'm good,
yes, man. You know what? I'm a passionate Browns fan. I'm 52 years old. But my issue is everything that's going on, yeah, we see it. But where is the – I just want to know, who is the person in charge of talent evaluation? Because we see these guys getting hurt, all our stars getting hurt, and we see these young guys coming up and they're balling out. So why is this guy sitting here? I mean, they're getting reps in practice. Are you not seeing this? Our defensive line is horrible. We can't stop a run. So, and then to the draft, can't draft nobody that does that. Offensive line, you know, you need to shore this up. But my problem is talent evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing this? Is it Mike Pettine?
No, it's Ray Farmer. Ray Farmer and his staff.
And so, yeah. But I would think the coach should be the person who's there on the ground doing the dirty work, seeing all this. It's just mind-boggling that we can't put a team together. We got guys, man. We got guys. But it's just not being put together right.
Fits with football teams you're speaking of, Gary. We appreciate the call. You and I have discussed this a lot, too, and we gave Ray Farmer some credit for the fits. And Mike Pettine just mentioned the second round, third round, and fourth round draft picks as mature. And why has Joel Bitonio and Chris Kirksey had so much success? Mike Pettine? Because they're mature. They came in with that understanding and maturity of what was expected of them and how they had to go week by week, not just with entitlement, but go week by week to show you deserve to play.
Absolutely, and I think that that is something that the Cleveland Browns fans and the Browns Nation and the Dog Pound will be highly critical of, especially with two opportunities in the first round moving forward.
Yeah, we'll get into that. All right, let's continue on. 216-578-0850. When we get back, you ready for your grading curve, Matthew?
Yes. Critical.
Professor Wilhelm. Professor Wilhelm says, yeah. I hope he's not a Christmas Grinch.
No.
We'll find out.
I live in the real world, though.
I know you do, as do I. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm's here. I'm Michael Regge. I got you till 3 o'clock. We've also got Under Further Review coming up and a lot more time for you. Tweet at the show, at MattWilhelm57, at Michael Regge, at Browns_Daily, at Nathan Zagura. Give us a shout, 216-578-0850. Let's go. Lot more to do. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.